have thought deeply since meeting Ed Horn about why he agreed to be interviewed for this book. I have concluded that he has a desire to be known. He wanted to be an actor in his youth. He still wishes he could act or direct plays. Ultimately, he wants some sort of connection to the North, a place that is close to his heart to this day, in spite of his heinous crimes there. In many ways, I represented a Northern connection. He asked me about people in the North we both know. Unmistakably, he was most animated when he was talking about teaching in the North. From his arrival in the Eastern Arctic in 1971 until his arrest in 1985, Edward Horn's predations on boys would leave a trail of destruction in Canada's North. This book is the first full examination of what happened, the crimes, the mistakes, the lies, and the fallout from the abuse. There have been other outsiders who lived and worked in Canada's North and abused Northern children. A social worker named Kevin Clark Amiot molested boys in Sanikiluwak in the years 1984 to 1986. Seven men alleged they were sexually abused by teacher James McDermott in Pond Inlet in 1969, a tragic situation the anthropologist Hugh Brody later wrote about in his highly regarded book, The People's Land. And Maurice Clockley was a school teacher, world traveler, and artist who abused girls in remote Inuit communities between 1974 and 1979. Following his 1996 trial, where he pleaded guilty to nine charges, Clockley was sentenced to 10 years in prison for sexual assaults, forced sexual contact, and forcing students to pose nude for photographs. But in the memories of Northerners, Horn has remained the worst of them all, having attained a mythical status because of the number of communities affected, rumors about how many victims there were, the enormous compensation payouts victims later received, and Horn's reported professional achievements while he lived in the North.